want to get you out of here on time today. Well, I was accosted by one of your pastors during the break trying to convince me that the Bible is more for Buckeyes than they are for Cyclones. So I don't know if you know who that would be. You pray for him every week? Yeah, okay. Let's watch a video of Making Friends.
My name is Kylie. What is your name? Kate. My name is Kylie. Do you know that?
My name's Kate. Kate, let's play.
No, I make your friend.
My name's Kate. Please spell it K-A-T-E. But our
hey,
people
say
spell
what,
it.
That's what I K-A-T-E. Start with. That's how I start it.
I start with K. Do there's a second letter. A?
No. How I spell my name is K-Y-L-I-E.
Do I have any T's? Do I have any T's?
No. I have, so, K-Y-L-I-E. That's how I spell my name.
Do I have any E's?
No.
Oh.
Kate, come on!
Stop, I made you a friend.
There's three sisters in my family, and there's my mom and dad. We call them Mom and Dad. That's their two real names. That's what we always call them.
So, what's your favorite color?
Rainbow.
You know, you can't choose rainbow.
I like rainbow because they're just like, have a lot of colors and pink in it. But I love
They don't pink. Have pink in it?
Yes, they do. Mm-mm. They draw rainbows like that. I love them.
It's red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple. No pink.
Come on, Kate.
No! I'm making a friend right now!
Yeah, let's hope we do better than that. Couple of you, you extroverts, some of you who are extroverts, what impacted you the most about the last session? What impacted you or changed your mind about this whole process versus an event? Who wants to share? Put your hand up. Come on, be bold. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Even though I so I grew up in the church and all that, but just a reminder of the journey length is going to be, every story is going to be different. Not to, like that most people are going to have a journey. It's not going to be one and done, like.
Yeah, it's, when you think of, when I think of history of our church welcoming programs, you know, when a visitor walked in the door years ago, man, we would jump on them. In fact, we would, during the service, say, are there any visitors here this morning? And then everyone would jump on them and hand them special stuff and go after them and trying to, you know, force them that day to, you know, rather than, hey, they're on a journey. Let's let them kick the tires a little bit. Let's make this a safe place for them. Yeah. Okay, somebody else.
I'm part of the process of their conversion.
Yeah.
Not the whole experience.
Yeah, the whole responsibility is not on you. And I've learned that. I don't know if you remember when I was here and I preached about how I went to the lady's home and it was the night Geraldo opened the tomb. And I said to her, there's no way you'd want to accept Christ tonight, is there? And she said, yes. That surprised me because I didn't think I was going to be the one that night. God surprises you. And I don't like to ever say I led someone to the Lord. It's just that I was the one at the privilege at the end to share the gospel and have them respond to it. Because other people, through that process, had been sharing with them somehow. What else? Somebody over here. What impacted you? Yeah, I'm trying to become more aware of customer service, people treating me, how I treat them. Do I just take them as that lady is there? I mean, okay, check my groceries, get out of my way, I'm in a hurry. And then think about, what's her day like? You know, how many people have been nice to her? And if I can somehow, you know, give a word of peace to her and be nice to her. One more, yeah. Well, and it says also a lot about what the little cute video here about making friends. You know, we live in a, you know, I used to be part in our church training years ago of Evangelism Explosion. We would go do cold calls. We would go to apartment complexes and knock on doors. You can't do that today. I mean, safety-wise, people aren't, what are you doing here? What are you trying to sell? What, you know, their own safety. They're not going to come to the door. And so for her to be able to share, she had to feel safe. So again, how am I presenting myself to someone so that they feel safe with me? Am I a safe place for them to share what's going on in their life? And how's that going to happen? There's only one way that's going to happen. Time. I have to build a relationship with that person. I mean, the people moving in next door. I can't go over the first day and say, hey, I'm your new neighbor and I'm a retired pastor and I'm here to share the gospel with you. You know, how's your life? No, I'm going to have to, you know, help them move in, take them a plate of cookies. I always enjoy when Jean makes cookies for the neighbors because I get some. You know, just reach out because we live in a society today. People don't look you in the eye. This is their relationships. I had a joke. I saw a meme the other day. I was sitting in my chair in the couch. Jean was sitting in her chair. We were watching something on TV, and we were both on our phones. And I was sending her memes, and a meme popped up about a couple sitting in their living room, looking at their phones, sending memes to each other. And we're sitting right there. You know, we got to get back more to face-to-face. How are you? Square off with them, help them feel. I had to learn that as a counselor. I had to learn a lot about your whole body posture when you're counseling someone. You know, if I sit like this, this is a very closed, and if you come to see me for counseling and during while you're sharing, I go like this, I've lost you. You know, I have to present an open posture, lean in, you know, encourage them. That's what we have to do in an evangelism way, is to be open people. Okay, let's get to our assignment on page 28. This is going to be short video, Bob. Let's see the short video, Bob.
My name is Debbie, and we just finished up seminar one. And I think the whole scent content is just a new concept for me, that every single person I meet, every phone conversation I have, is an opportunity to Christ, and or share Christ in me, and deepening my friendships and actually looking to find non-Christian friends is something that I don't have very many of here. So that's going to be a challenge for me, but I'm up to it. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, this is going to be an interesting thing for you to do. On page 28, they left you a lot of blanks. All the people I know who are not yet born again. Who do you know that you come in contact with in your life? This might be kind of a hard thing to do. Maybe kind of easy. Just start listing names. Just write down the names, the people you know. And if you maybe even put down, okay, the clerk at the grocery store. I don't know, the barber, the hairdresser. I don't know. You may not know all their information, but just start writing down the names of people in your life that you know are not born again believers. Go. A couple minutes, and I'll give you some more clues in a minute. Okay, I'm going to put some helps up on the screen up here for you on different people that may be in different categories. Oops, Bruce left. Let me do that. Is this the right? Think of people in your family, work. Study with, clubs that you're in, your neighbors' names, people you see at restaurants, maybe waitresses, sports teams, if your kids are in sports, gas station people, where do you shop, parents of your children's friends, your family members' friends, people you regularly meet on holidays, kind of think through that. You may not know their name. Just what we're trying to do with this exercise is we want to just kind of figure out who are the people in our lives that are potential friends we can build friendships with. This was a very hard exercise for me when we went through this, because being a pastor, 95% of my time was with believers. I had to really think, what are the potential friendships out there for me? Most all my friends were at church, in my small group. Okay, now this is where it starts to get hard. Cross their name off the list if you don't know their spouse's name. If you put somebody's name on there, and if they are married, and you don't know their spouse's name, just kind of draw a line through that. If you don't know their first and last name, what we're trying to do with this is to show us that there's a difference between acquaintances and friends. You can have a lot of acquaintances in your life, but how many friends do you have? If you don't know their hobbies, if you don't know them well enough to know what they like to do, does he like to play golf? Does she like to quilt? I noticed we had the privilege of staying at Tim and Robin's house last night, and their beautiful guest, she has quilts all over the place on the wall. She must be into quilting. I didn't ask her that, but that must be something she's into. And I found out Tim was into making coffee. In fact, what was his password on their no cheap coffee? Was their password on their Wi-Fi? And I tried to talk to him about it, tried to pretend like I knew a lot about coffee and liked coffee, but because I was trying to build a friend. If you haven't eaten a meal with them, outside of a normal setting, in other words, the two of you haven't just gone out for lunch or breakfast or something. I mean, this is a hard exercise. It's like, I don't know that I had anybody left on my list that day when we did this at Faith Church. Kind of like, I got to hide my list because I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be an example. You know, who's on my list? The people we crossed off are our acquaintances. They're people that we know of, but we haven't taken the time or haven't really gotten to know them. They could be friends, but they're not really deep friends. So let me define for you, when we say friend, that has a lot of different meanings. We use, in Evangelism Shift, we say the friend is someone that we have known for years and have shared life with. Someone we've known for a long time and we're sharing life with them. You go, and it's someone that you go below the level of the weather conversation. It's someone that you go below the surface. You're able to go below the surface with. the hardest part for me when I did this exercise was reversing the question to myself. How many non-Christians would have me on their friend list? How many non-Christians in my life would be feel safe enough around Bob? I'll share one quick example. When I was a businessman at Cedar Rapids, I served on the YMCA board. And every month we had a board meeting, and someone on the board would be asked to share a devotional. So I sat through Indian poem devotionals, Hindu poem devotionals, Muslim poems, Christian organization, but. And so it was my turn, and it was Holy Week. So I shared about it's Friday, but Sunday's coming from Tony Campolo. Didn't think much of it. Even took my Bible in. That kind of shocked them all. Read it and shared that. Didn't think much of it. 4 months later, I got a call from a businessman in town. He said, "Hey, Bob, this is Jim Smith. Hey, Jim, how you doing?" He was an acquaintance. He said, "Could I come talk to you?" I said, "Well, okay." I said, "Yeah, what do you need?" And he said, "Where do you want to meet?" And he said, "Well, I'm outside your house. I'm in my car outside your house." So I said to Gene, "Hey, I don't know what's going on here, but could you take the kids and go downstairs?" And this man came in and shared with me that he had committed adultery. His wife had found out, and his life was falling apart. And I didn't know Jim that well, but that night I had the privilege of sharing the gospel with him and helping him on a rotary. You never know. You never know who's watching you. And so I kind of asked myself, who feels safe enough with Bob that they would put me down as a friend? Just think about the friends that are still on your list. How did that happen? Just think about it. Was it a one-time deal? No, it was a journey. It was a process. Could anyone on your list have someone that is now a friend that was an acquaintance, willing to share? How did that happen? What were the ingredients of turning an acquaintance into a friend? Enemies, okay. Acquaintances.
When one of us was going through a hard time and we felt like we had nobody to turn to, we kind of just found, something in each other that we were in need to turn to each other, even though we didn't get along.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're, moving below the surface to real life, to life. What it's all about, and that only can come through time. And in your case, it was shared, not grief or something, but something in each of you. You noticed that, hey, they're hurting, I'm hurting. We can share in that together. So that's great. Okay, we're going to continue on with this. Bruce is going to come up and talk about the gospel.
Before I go on, I haven't figured out how quite to do this, so this isn't actually part of what we're doing. You've seen me run out a couple times. So my wife and I live in Devil's Lake. My wife's parents moved to our town a few years ago. My father-in-law had a series of small strokes 3, 4, or 5 years ago, and he's a great guy. He's very funny, very talkative. The strokes kind of took away the talkative nature of that, and my sister-in-law called. She never calls me while we were having our break, so I better answer this. And she was in a panic, and the ambulance was picking up my father-in-law, and so she was trying to get a hold of my wife, who's her sister. and Trudy's not answering. So I texted our neighbor, Vicky, and said, can you just go see if Trudy's home? So Trudy just called me, and I said, you need to get over to your dad's. The ambulance is there. And she just... Trudy just called back, and my father-in-law just passed away. I can do this. I will keep going, but I just need a pause. And maybe a couple of you could just pray. His name is Phil. Trudy's mom's name is Della. So they're just, everything is in chaos right now at home. Believer, knows Jesus, talks about Jesus. He's with Jesus. I just need a minute. So if can you just help me out for a little bit, or Bob? And then I will continue. It'll be okay. Sure. Thank you. That helped a lot. And Bob could take this. It'd be fine. It'll be good for me just to talk. So I'm not being fake. I'm not faking anything. But there's a lot of things just playing out at home that I couldn't do with her on the phone right now anyway. So if you'll let me, we'll go on. Great guy. Amazing sense of humor. Great storyteller. Talked about Jesus a lot. So, let's see what God does with this. Maybe somebody will cross the line of faith because of this. All right. Bottom of page 28. I'm going to give you some phrases and just unpack them slowly and give you some examples. So this isn't even heavy content. It's just like, let's just step back. Let's get some perspective. We've given you some stuff. We're already giving you some homework. But let's just think what Bob has laid the seeds for about relationships, how this works. So the gospel. You guys know, and I'm sure Josh preaches it, your staff knows it. The gospel is simply means what? What does it mean? Two words. Good news. You're well taught here. I wish I had written it down, but sometime in the last couple of months, I heard a quote, and it struck me in a good way that it struck me. It's like, if the gospel is such good news, why are we so reluctant to share it, or why does it show such little evidence on our faces and the way we live? And it's like, that's right. I think I like to have fun, but I'm kind of a serious person. But it's like there's something about the gospel that just makes us go, oh. We're scared because we're scared of what people think. It's good news. There's something that's just happened where we're like, I don't know what it is about the good news that makes me retreat, but it should actually have the opposite expense. So even just unpacking this one phrase at a time, the second phrase, the gospel spreads. The gospel spreads. Think about how Christianity spread from the time, well, let's just use Jesus. Jesus goes back to heaven. He gives them Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. The intention, the strategy was that the gospel would spread. It was never going to be just for the Jews. Jesus says, I came to do this with the Jews, and even he, into the Samaritans. But the whole idea was that this was going to be a movement based on how people had changed, and they were sharing that with other people. And so this really hit me last weekend in North Dakota when we were there. We had about 70 people, very similar crowd as what we've got here from a number of churches. And it just struck me because I've lived in that community for so long. I've lived in the area all of my life. It's like if 70 people, if even half of the 70 could lead somebody to Christ in the next 2 years, and those people could, even half of those people could lead somebody to Christ in the next 2 years, what would happen in the region in which we live? Just same thing here. If even half of you had the privilege of leading somebody to Christ in the next period of time, who then led somebody to Christ, who led somebody to Christ, what could happen in this area and all the towns that you guys are connected with in this whole area? We're very similar to you there in North Dakota. So like Devil's Lake is the town, but there's all kinds of rural towns around there. Your towns are just a little bigger than ours. It's like the whole idea of this Christian movement is that it should spread. It was never intended to be just good news for me and my family alone. But here's where it gets to what Bob's already been seeding seeds with through relationships. Again, you can even think scripturally about this. Like, did Jesus have a relationship with the Samaritan, the woman at the well? No, but it certainly was. There had been relationships going on that had impacted her, that he gets the benefit of stepping into this new relationship. Men don't talk to women. You don't talk to Samaritans. The whole culture, the whole religion thing, and yet there's a relationship that's developed there. I think of what, even a better example, is the disciples themselves. Whether you like or loathe the chosen doesn't matter to me. I happen to like it because that's actually the way I preach the gospels. Is like, I wonder what they were thinking while they were walking down the road 90 miles to go back up to Galilee. So that's the part that I really like, is like, Jesus is walking, he's talking. I had gotten an old definition of a disciple years ago that I really liked, and I just started using it with our church. A disciple is someone who knows what his rabbi knows and does what his rabbi does. And the where I got that from, the guy said, look, if your rabbi picked up a blade of grass and put it in his mouth and chewed it, that's what the disciples did, because they were there to imitate their rabbi. But think of what all that meant. They even had a silly one, like they would watch how their rabbi chewed his food. Like they were supposed to be so like their rabbi that they even chewed their food the same way. So that by the time the rabbi was done, they really were a carbon copy of their rabbi. Well, what do you think is happening there? A relationship is developing. And like, wow. And you guys know this from your own experience. It's like you can tell hard things to people with whom you have a relationship that you can't tell to a stranger. It's like, brother, I've been walking with you for a long time. We know each other really well. Here's something that I see. You don't tell that to a stranger, per se. And so the gospel spreads through relationships. Again, like we said last night in the first session, if that's true, there should be biblical evidence of it. So let me show you a couple of things. Gospel spreads through relationships. John chapter 1, verses 35 to 50, Andrew to Peter. Andrew met Jesus. The next day he went and found his brother Peter and said, We found who? The Messiah. Really? When Philip met Jesus, he went to tell his friend Nathanael. Think about, and we've already alluded to her, we always said that, the Samaritan woman. She goes into the village of Sychar to tell people. Now, Have you stopped to think how insane that is? What is her reputation in the community? It's horrible. Why does she go get water at noon instead of early in the morning when it's cold? Because she has a reputation. But her life is transformed, and she runs back into town to tell all the townspeople that she's met the Messiah? That's crazy. So she's going, even to, you know, whether or not she has a good relationship, she doesn't have a good relationship with these people, but she's willing to because her life has so changed. Here's a little bit of research that we have. This is from Australia, John North, who started this. I wish we had paralleled the United States. Maybe we'll find it at some point. Curtin University is apparently a university in Perth, Australia. If you've heard of it, you're better than me. They actually surveyed the student body, and here's what they found. 60% of university students said that they did not know any Christians personally. Now, pause on that for a little bit. Australia is more post-Christian than the United States is, so they're either ahead of us or behind of us, however you want to look at it. So if 60% of the student body doesn't know any Christians, how are they supposed to hear the gospel? They need to meet a Christian and find out that Christians are not totally weird or strange, or that we have something to offer. And so that's the authentication for this idea that the gospel spreads through relationships. If we're going to spread this gospel message, and again, Bob alluded to it too, again, my years as pastor, I knew that I should develop relationships with people outside the church, but the church can be such a, it can suck up all your time. Which is why a friend of mine recommended that I get into the Rotary Club, in part because he says, you're going to meet business leaders you're not running in circles with. And he was absolutely correct. And because I've been in the Rotary now for 21 years, it's amazing the things that these guys tell me. Or I can ask questions of them, or surgeries, or their wife, or things like this. Is like, no. Do I have deep relationships? Well, with a couple of them, but most of them are just their acquaintances, so they'd be on my acquaintance list, and a few of them would be a little bit more. But even at an acquaintance level, they can sniff out whether you're legit or not, or whether you're authentic or not. So relationship is huge. So I want you to do this. You've got your list. Take your list of non-church people you know, whether you crossed them out or not, and just write S-E-N-T across it, diagonally, vertically, horizontally, I don't care how you write it. It's like, all right, you know all those people. Take your list of non-church people you know and write sent across it in big letters. Just to put a trigger in your mind is, all right, these are people whose paths I cross. I'm going to see them. Now, I want you to think about this question. I should look this way once in a while. Why do you think God has put you in relationship with these people who need him? See, I don't really think about that very often. It's like, I don't go to a Rotary Club and go, they really need what I have to offer. That's not the intent of the question. It's like, oh. Every time I go to a Rotary, it's just a breath prayer. And Wednesdays at noon, we have lunch, say the pledge, sing a little patriotic song. Then we have a speaker, and we're chit-chatting around. But every time I go to Rotary, it's just a breath prayer as I walk in the door. It's like, Lord, can I be a blessing to somebody today? Am I supposed to meet somebody today? Even the table that I choose to sit at, I'm not very strategic about it. I look for an open spot where I walk in. But it's like, so I'll ask a question of somebody, but you know, very innocent. But it's just incredible how even that level of relationships work. Be thinking about why God has put you in relationship with these people. So let's talk about this a little more. I've already mentioned the gospel. You get the idea of the good news. But here's the thing. And again, I don't want to discount my friend Kyle, who is an evangelist who hits the streets and does this all the time. This is not an either or. This is a both and. I've met, since joining Evangelism Shift, a guy named Jim Halstead who lives in Fort Wayne, leads a ministry called Go and Tell Ministries. Have any of you heard of it? He trains churches how to hit the streets and share the gospel. We're not undercutting those things. We're on the same team. We're trying to accomplish the same thing. We're saying that in towns like we live and where I live, where I know a whole bunch of the people, the cold call evangelism has a place, But I really want to develop relationships with these people because I'm living there a long time. So you get the idea of the gospel, the good news. But here's the thing. If I don't know them or I barely know them, the gap between, and I'll show you the next one, and you're going to start to see this. The gap between an acquaintance and the gospel is pretty big. Can we agree on that? Like, I barely know you. And I joke about this, but North Dakotans can talk to anybody about news, weather, and sports. Would that be true in Indiana, too? I don't care who you are. It's like, hey, it's a nice day today. Yeah, well, it was pretty cold yesterday, or there's rain in the forecast for tomorrow. That's how conversations go in the Midwest. Does that go that way here, too? We can do that. But you can do that with an acquaintance. If the only thing you can talk about is news, weather, and sports, the gap between that and, hey, would you like to know how to become a Christian, is pretty big. Can we agree on that? What if there were some things in between that narrow those gaps? Now, I have to give you, I'm obsessive compulsive about filling in blanks. You're going to fill these in from right to left, not left to right. Or those of you who do it backwards, you're going to have scribble it out, and it's going to mess up your whole workbook because you got it backwards. Are we clear? Which way are we going to fill this in? Right to left. All right. So we're going to shorten the gap between acquaintance and the gospel. And where our first one we're going to add is, on the right, you're going to write spiritual conversations. You write that, and I'll explain what that means. If I'm already talking to them about spiritual things, their church background, my church background, kind of my spiritual journey, my spiritual experiences, they're talking about their experiences, then would you agree with me that the gap between spiritual conversations and the gospel is shorter or less? Absolutely. The gap, but maybe the gap from acquaintance to spiritual conversations is still really big. Like, I just met this guy, or I blew a tire the other day. I helped these farmers. I was driving 25 miles out of town, and I blew a tire, and my car doesn't have a spare tire. And I called my friend from the farm. He picked me up, but I had to call back into town to get a tow, and they got my car. Those led to actually just some very simple conversation. I didn't know the guy with the company who towed my car, so the next day I went and paid for it. It's expensive to use a tow truck. Did you know that? Wow. Anyway, I thanked him very much. I appreciate you coming out. You did great. He brought it to the dealer where I got my tire fixed. He's just a first level acquaintance. And I'm not going to whip out my Bible and go, hey, I got good news for you. So even to get to spiritual conversations, which is interesting about my flight from Chicago to South Bend, how we got to spiritual things in 30 minutes. That was crazy, but that's more of a one-off. Anyway, if we can shorten the gap, if we're in spiritual conversations in the gospel, that's helpful. Let's add another one, moving from right to left, so make sure you remember, personal conversations. Personal conversations. So this is different than news, weather, and sports. What would personal conversations include? That's a level deeper than news, weather, and sports. What would be some ideas at personal? Family, kids, what you do, your job, things like that. So that's more than acquaintance. If you're having personal conversations with someone, you're getting acquainted, you're starting to share, oh, I've got, not only, not just do I have four kids, we have four adult kids. One of them is married. We don't have any grandkids yet. Things like that. You're going one deeper level. Now you've shortened the gap. So now from personal conversations to spiritual is a little bit narrower. And of course, we're talking about the spiritual conversations to the gospel is a little bit narrower. Let's add one more in there because this has been introduced already. What if we put friend in there? Now, friend can kind of encompass some of these things, so it's not as clear cut as some of these others, but it's like a friend would be somebody, like Bob said, our definition of a friend is somebody you go deeper than surface level with. They'd be the ones that you'd invite over for pizza after the basketball game or after the football game, or maybe you're going to have them over to watch whatever your college football team is today. That would be considered a friend. And probably if they're a friend, you're probably already having personal conversations with them, so that's why the circle that I put here, it's not in your notes, can kind of encompass those same things. But why are we introducing this idea to you? Because if you're mostly introverted like me and not an evangelist like me, I'm afraid that that from acquaintance to the gospel is so big that I can memorize my gospel presentation, I can unload that on you, but I don't have any skin in the game. So unless I'm conversation 15 and person 5, to use the analogy we gave you last night, that person is going to like, yeah, no, whatever. It'd be another example of a flight. And again, I don't talk to people much on flights. It's like I'm happy to read a book or watch something because I'm usually tired of flying home from this, that, or the other. But but I'll use another example. A couple of years ago, I was on a flight. Two gals, how can I say this nicely? You'll just have to trust me. I'm on the window seat, two gals beside me. It was obvious that they were in a relationship with each other. I'm reading a book on the gospel that was giving me tips on how to have conversations with people. And it's like the Lord is poking me going, try it, try it. What was that? Sorry, I didn't hear you. Good, yeah. To try that, did any of you second guess when the Holy Spirit's telling you? It's like, okay, yeah. So I finally, like, all right, just leave me alone. I turned to her and I said, hey, I'm reading this book, and it's about how to have spiritual conversations with people. Can I ask you a couple of these questions? Said, yeah, sure, it's great. Anyway, we probably had about a 15-minute conversation, and she said something like this at the end. I can't quote it. She said, that was really good. She said, if you can have conversations with that, like people, with people, she said, that's a really good approach. And I'm like, wow. I didn't get to the gospel, so if you're disappointed in me, I didn't get that far. But here's another thing sideways to that. There's a really good book, if you want to read it, called You Found Me. It's written by Rick Richardson, You Found Me. He's with the Billy Graham School of Evangelism. They do amazing work with lead pastors and staff pastors. We fit really well right underneath what they do. So we've got kind of a loose connection with them. He's got a research-based book, and here's the premise. You don't need to know any of the research. We have been convinced by our media that nobody wants to have a spiritual conversation and everybody is hostile to the gospel. That's what you would learn from the news. His book does research and personal stories that says the exact opposite is actually true. People are far more willing to engage with you and even talk about spiritual things than we think. And it's flipping my mindset to go, Bruce, please don't assume that that person doesn't want to talk. That maybe they do. And so in one of our subsequent sessions, we're going to have how to ask questions. Not even just spiritual questions, just how to ask questions. It's amazing. And I think a lot because of social media, and I'm not trying to just typecast the younger generation, I think we're getting worse at just having actual verbal conversations because this is now how we navigate. I was driving through, did I say this last night? I don't think I did. I remember who I talked to. I was driving through McDonald's to pick up a sandwich the other night because I'd come home from helping my friends on the farm and it was late and I needed something to eat. And then I had to drive forward to the last window so they could bring my food to me. So I could see into the place where people are eating. There were 5 or 6 young ladies, high school age, sitting at a table across from each other. All of them were looking at their phones. Periodically, a couple of them would look up and say something to the others like, oh, is this what conversation is in this current generation? So I think, but God made us to be relationship-oriented people. And I think what we need to have an awareness of is I think people are much more willing to talk if we show interest in them and ask honest questions than we give ourselves credit for. Is this any of this making sense? But all of this thing here is just to show we get scared because our typical presentation in the 70s, which is more my era in the 80s, was talk to an acquaintance and share the gospel. In this generation, and some of you have alluded to it, what if there are some steps in between and we're building authentic relationships? So Bob, come up. Now we're going to work this out in kind of an exercise for a little bit, and we'll take it to the next step.
So on page 29, how to turn acquaintances into friends. How do we move those people on your list that maybe you crossed out because they were acquaintances to friends, what are some ideas? Let's brainstorm together. All the extroverts in the room just got excited. All the introverts said, don't you dare call on me. So when we think about how the gospel spreads through relationships, and this starts by going from acquaintances to friends, what are some practical steps you can take, we can take, with those acquaintances to move them to friends? What are some practical things, just throw them out, you think we can do to do that? Pardon?
Spend time together.
Spend time together. So just carve out time to be with them. Make that a priority.
Ask them questions that they are, talk to them about things they are interested in.
Oh, you know that, I've learned that so much, especially like out in the golf course. I'll just ask questions. Jesus always asked questions. In fact, a lot of times he answered people by asking questions. So just ask questions. Get to know, most people like to talk about themselves if they feel safe, so just ask questions. Okay, I heard something else over here. Invite them to things. How about, it takes a while to figure out when you invite them to church and hope the pastor doesn't say something that's going to scare them away, right, Josh? You going to be nice to them if they bring them? Okay. If they wear Iowa State clothing, you'll love them. Okay, what else?
Find common ground.
What are some areas of common ground that people have?
Hobbies.
Find out what they like to do, and if you can do it, go do it with them. The gym we go to, he mentioned pickleball. Jean and I are trying to do pickleball, but she just had a knee replacement about 12 weeks ago, so we're not back into that yet. But the problem I always have with that is my competitiveness takes over, and when I'm smashing balls at ladies with my racket, it's not very safe. I have to calm down a little bit, come on, Bob. Okay, hobbies, what else? I'm sorry?
Respond to a need.
Respond to a need. We have a younger couple down the street. They're late 50s. They're one of the youngest in our group. Fire trucks came over. Ambulance came over to their house. Couldn't get in the house. Husband had already left. We're trying to figure out, help them, and they finally had to jimmy the garage door. I don't know if you know how they can do that now. They put a tool up in the garage door and then pulled the string, got in and found her, and she had died, young, 55, 56. And I didn't know them that well, and I went down the next day and talked to the husband and told him I was a retired pastor and found out, they're in a great church. He's in a small group. They have a community. But I said, hey, Tim, I know, you're going to have lots of people around. But, I'm here in the area. I know you should go walking if you ever want a walking partner. Now, he's already a believer. But still, there's all those kind of needs. I always felt that whenever I did a funeral. I did some funerals of people I didn't know if they were believers or not. And obviously, a lot of people in the room weren't believers. That gave me opportunity to have some people think, well, if I ever thought about going to church, I might go to that guy's church because he was very nice. What else? I'm sorry? Have coffee with them. That is the place. I was just at a coffee place the other day. Man, that's where the generations are. Yeah. Okay. You don't have to really add stuff to your schedule. We want to look at four things here. And guess what? We already saw those. Get to know their spouse's name. That's how you move from an acquaintance to a friend. Find out about their family. So these are the same four we used to cross people off. Get to know their first and last name. Remember that. Know their hobbies, find out what they like to do, and go do it with them. Eat a meal with them. You know, there's one thing that we don't have to come up with on our daily schedule. We eat 3 meals a day. Some of us eat more than that, and we shouldn't. But we eat. We need to eat. So it's already built into our schedule. So why not build having meals with acquaintances? And look how to do that. If you want to reach a Muslim family or a Middle Eastern family, that's the whole key, is having a meal with them. That is their way of building relationships, is inviting you over for a meal. Those are just a few suggestions. Bruce is going to come back up and take us through the end here.
All right, you seem like you're processing really well. We're going to give you another lifestyle priority here in a minute, but we always like to review where we've been. So this one is nothing new to you. Lifestyle priority number one, a sense of sentness in every circumstance and encounter. We've added the layer now from acquaintance to a friend to spiritual conversations to the gospel, but this is kind of the DNA underneath it. So I just want to have a mindset of that. Again, the lifestyle priorities are like values out of which behaviors come, all right? You're ready for lifestyle priority number two. You can either write it in that page 29 there and or then go back to page 12 right here. Lifestyle priority number two, I got ahead of myself, building real friendships with non-church people. So you can write that here on this page. It's already written for you on the next one. We'll give you the action steps after a little while. But here, and when I heard this for the first time as well, I actually pushed John North on this, and you haven't met John, but I pushed him pretty hard on this one. It's like, John, and this is the question that I'm sure a lot of you are thinking, John, are you asking me to add a bunch of new relationships to my already too full life? And he said, no. And so here's the argument that comes to this, but friendship takes time, and I'm all of time. Is there an amen in the room to that? It's like, if you guys came in and your training is going to say, now go start 3, 4, 5, 6 new relationships, I'm done. We are not. So don't leave, at least not yet. You can wait and just hear me out. Here's a couple of bullet points with that. You're at the bottom of page 29. You can write these in if you want. This is all whether it's helpful to you or not. I'll get to the next page in a minute. It's not what you do. It's how you use what you do. And I remember years ago getting some coaching as a pastor and how to live life and finding that balance. We have a lot more margin in our lives than we think we do. I'm very easily distracted, even though I'm very linear. It's like, oh, I'll just check in to see what the latest news headlines are. It'll only take me 2 minutes. And 15 minutes later, I better get back to what I was doing. Is anybody like me? We have more margin in there than we think, but we're not asking you to fill that with new things. It's how you use what you do. And again, Bob talked about eating, and we're actually going to talk about that several times. We all eat. And so it's like, you don't have to go out for a meal, even if you bring your lunch to work or something like that, or daycare, or playing with your kids with other moms or dads out in the playground, there's ways to use that. Here's a second one, lifestyle priorities. We're gonna keep driving this. I hope you don't get tired of it, but your life will follow your values. If you wanna know what your values are, look at you don't use checkbook register as much anymore, your checkbook register and your calendar, you'll find out where your values are. And I'll get into this more later, but my wife and I are both basketball players from years gone by. I haven't played now for a while. And our kids were basketball player. One of our boys was a hockey player. Do you go to games? Do you sit with people at games? Have you just thought about looking at that intentionally? Not that you're going to share the gospel, but just like, oh, I'm going to sit with Jim and Sally tonight. And by the way, just ways to use what you already do. Here's the third. You're invited to year one because you're a leader or a spouse of a leader. What do you want your people to be like? They will rarely rise above the life you model, no matter what you say. If you have kids, you know this for sure. And they'll remind you of it when they get to early adulthood. But dad, you did this. But dad, you said this. It's like, you were watching that? I thought you just, yeah, they do. And so at the people level, that's true. So really, there's no pressure implied in this, but the goal is you guys are going to set the bar for what the congregation's going to do in year two. We'll talk about that as we come. So don't feel the pressure of this, but just go, I can look at the things I do and the people I do them with through a new lens, our scent glasses, and develop those relationships. Let's go to the next step. So what are some principles? Here on the next page, you've got the whole list. You don't even have to write these down. They're all there for you. So I'm just going to walk through them. Maybe there's a nugget that stands out to you and you want to highlight it. Got a little tickle. Excuse me. Number one, a ministry mindset of sentness will actually attract people to you. This is true. Again, I think culturally we are so relationship starved that when you show attention to someone, that's very attractive. And again, I don't think I need to say it, but I mean male on male, female on female, or you as a couple. Second, time together is the foundation of friendship. There just really is no substitute for time, but not adding it into your schedule just go and look like, as a pastor, I just said, Friday night is family night. I'm not taking any meetings unless it's a wedding or a funeral or something. And so we're going to watch a movie. Do you have friends that are at similar stage of life where you go, hey, we're going to watch a movie tonight and make our balance is either popcorn, butter, and salt, or we have this caramel popcorn recipe that I make that the kids got sick of because dad made it every week. And so now we don't make caramel popcorn anymore. I don't know why that came out. I think it's kind of a hidden thing in me, but anyway. I have a really great caramel popcorn recipe if anybody's interested in. What were we talking about? Time together is the foundation of friendship. Here's the third. Involving people in more than one sphere of your life creates friendship. So again, think about this. I'm in the Rotary Club. Our kids are out of high school now, but let's say they were still in high school and in sports, our kids were musical, some played violin, things. There's some overlap between those things. The more, if you were to do an exercise and create circles of all the different aspects of your life, you'd probably be surprised how some of those circles interact once or twice or even three times. You go, there's potential there for a relationship. If you got three of your circles, sports, music, and Rotary, service clubs, you've got the potential for a relationship there. Here's the fourth. Eating together opens up, deepens friendship. I don't know what it's like here. Well, you're providing evidence for it. We cannot have a church meeting without some kind of food and coffee. The same thing was culturally. In my era, when I was a kid, a farm kid, the social time was Sunday after church, so mom always had a roast in the oven and potatoes. Very few people do that anymore. We'd go out for lunch, and I don't know what options you have here, but it's like, hey, my wife and I, we're going to go out for pizza on Friday night. You guys want to join us? Like, yeah, sure. We haven't seen you for a while. So food is just, I think it's like, I don't know if it's globally, but at least nationally, it's like, we can do food. So you're already going to eat, so why not involve somebody else in it? Here's another one. Find shared interest, areas of commonality, and build on them. I've really already kind of woven that into my other comments. The things you do, the things you enjoy. Like I said, we're in pickleball now. Finding those things. Now, here's a good disclaimer. It's not a disclaimer. It's a clarification. I'll look this way for a change. Not all friendships will develop at the same pace. Not all acquaintances will want to become friends. And I should add the words after that, and that's okay. Not everybody you make an attempt to go to the next level with is going to reciprocate. That's okay. What we're really doing is saying, Lord, I'm willing to take a step. I'm going to try this. If you're in this, I don't really lose if it doesn't go anywhere. But if a door opens to another level or a deeper conversation or more, awesome, let's do that. And again, we're not asking you to develop 12 new relationships. If you develop one, if you develop two, I'll tell you more stories as we go, but our neighbor Vicky, who I think I alluded to last night, single, actually, because we couldn't get a hold of my wife, I texted Vicky, who lives next door. I said, if you're up, can you run across to see if Trudy's home, because she's not answering her phone. She needs to answer her phone. And actually, that's how Trudy found out. So I can text Vicky and go. So I mow Vicky's lawn. We share snow blowing services in winter. It's so hilarious. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you one piece. We've been neighbors for 11 years. So we've watched our relationship develop. She's very different from us for any number of reasons. We started inviting her to things like Mother's Day or Father's Day at our house. Trudy's parents would come over and our kids would come home. And she ended up supplying the steaks. And she likes our younger son to grill them. It's like, I'm so offended by that. I think I'm a pretty good griller. But she says, is Chandler coming home for Mother's Day? He said, yeah, I think they're planning to. He's like, great, I'll bring the steaks if Chandler will grill. It's like, come on, it's my grill, I'm a man. And when she buys steaks, she buys good steaks. Like the one time we didn't do it right, but she was shooting for an inch thick steaks and we got like an inch and a half thick steaks. That was a lot of meat and it was really expensive. But so what happened is she would bring us the food, and then the next level was she would stay and eat with us because we'd invite her. Now, after doing 3 or 4 years of this, she stays and hangs out half of the afternoon with us. And we just don't talk politics. But here's what happened. The last Mother's Day, it was Father's Day, because I was gone for Mother's Day. Our kids were home. Our oldest daughter, Michaela, is 30. She's a physical therapist. Somehow we started talking about church or something. It's like, Michaela said, hey, Vicky, my dad is preaching at church on the first Sunday of such and such. You should come. And internally I went, no, she shouldn't. What am I supposed to preach on if Vicky is there? And she goes, yeah, I might do that. I was like, oh, Lord have mercy. What am I? So she came. I'm like, Vicky's there. I preached a message on religion versus relationship. I'm like, and so Trudy picked her up, brought her to church. And after church, like, Trudy, what'd she say? She said she liked it. I was like, is that a good thing or not? I don't really know. But we're moving very slowly over 10 years. She knows that we care. We've got a couple kayaks. We just cleaned them up. We put them in her basement for the winter, so we hauled them over. She sends Trudy a text. Man, I just want you to know that I really appreciate you guys. It's like, I don't know if and when Vicky's going to cross the line of faith, but, man, it's moved from we don't really like you to you're almost part of our family. Does that make sense? I didn't have to add anything. I didn't add anything to my life. We just started including her in what we do, and we share, you know, mowing and things like that. So what would be some friend-building activities for you? There's only really a gap there. If you want to put any of these ideas that resonate with you, these are just simple. Why would be surprised what's at the top of the list? Eat together. Make contact between getting together. So a text message, Facebook, a call, sharing a link. Hey, did you see this? This is kind of an interesting article. I try to do that with the people that I connect with. Here's the thing. For those of us who are introverts, share something personal about yourself. So I'm going to give you a heads up on when we get to this thing on questions. I'm going to say this badly, and I hope you're getting to know me well enough, what you know what I mean. I'm so good at asking questions, I can hide behind my questions and never share anything about myself. Does that make any sense? I've had to remind myself in conversations with guys that I'm praying for, it's like, oh, there's an opening for me to share something about myself. But I'm so like this that the Lord has to kind of prompt me to go share something, because this fits here. One of the guys that I have lunch with about every 2-3 months or so, I've shared our son has had some mental health challenges over the last 3 years. And I happen to bring it up in a conversation, which is pretty honest for me. And so whenever we get together, we're chatting along. He goes, by the way, how's Landon doing? I'm like, wow. He's not praying for him, but we have this rapport where he's asking questions. How's Landon? And so I'm like, he's doing better. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So putting yourself out, be the initiator. It bugs me a little bit that the guys I'm praying for almost never ask me out to lunch or coffee, that I have to do it. It's like, it'd be really nice if they would, but they never turn me down either. So as long as, if I have to be the initiator, I will. Show interest. There's, we've alluded to that. Follow-up questions. Body language. Bob talked about the body language part. Are you closed? You know, are you open? Pray with them. This is weird. When I go out with this one guy for lunch, I'm like, so I'm a Mennonite, right? You have to pray before you eat. Anybody grow up like that? Like, if you don't, you just don't know what's going to happen. So I'm like, but he's not a Christian as far as I can tell. Do I still pray out loud before we eat? So the first time is like, hey, do you mind if I just say a prayer? No. What are they going to say? Yeah, I'd be really offended if you prayed before your meal. One time I didn't. I just decided not to. And what do you think he said? Are you going to pray? I'm like, rats. Okay, sure. it's not very threatening. But here's a tip. Don't explore the universe with your best theological prayer when you're with an unsaved person. Get in, get out, and get to your food. That did not sound very spiritual. Are you okay with that? Do you know what I meant? Okay. Pray for the friendship. So we're in our last few minutes, we're going to talk about how to do that, writing it down. Do favors for them. Look for ways where you can help. See, none of this is brain surgery, but these are ways to take the level of your relationship from an acquaintance to a friend. If nothing else, look at the top three and make those your priority. Eat together, because you're doing that anyway. Make contact after you get together. Say, that was really fun, or, you know, say something to them on social media. Share something personal about yourself. Put yourself out there a little bit, just a little bit. So here's what we're going to ask you to do. This is really going to be really our next step of faith. Commit to going on this relational journey to identify three people who are seeking for answers, for hope, or for God. This is a slight change from what we've done in years past. We used to just say, ask the Lord to identify the names of three people, write them down, and start praying for them. You can do that, absolutely. But what we're really looking for is, who do you know that you could develop a relationship with who is already somewhat seeking? See, what we know about Jesus is he preached to anybody, but if he ever found a seeker, he really drilled in there. Because, you know, Jesus couldn't have a relationship with everybody. But what we're asking you to do, and you've got a box there that says that three people in my life I'm committing to go on a relational journey towards God with are... Now, you might know immediately who those three are. You might need to go home and pray about that. We don't care which it is. But in the next relatively short period of time, ask the Lord to lay on your heart the names of three people. We don't care if it's two. We don't care if it's four. But three is just a good, modest number. I'll tell you this. So I've been doing this for several years. My list has changed. People move. I don't see them very often anymore. It's okay. I'll still pray for them periodically. But the list kind of becomes these three-ish guys that I'm really pouring myself into. What's really fascinating, if you ask the Lord to show you who they are, by the way, before I forget, it can be a family member. And it might be only family members on your list. So don't think that we're only thinking out there. If you've got people on in your heart that... don't know the Lord, that are family members, that can be there too. But what I was going to say is, it's fascinating who the Lord lays on your heart. So I'm going to prime the pump with a story from Iowa, which still blows me away today. We finished seminar one. We put 6 to 7 weeks between them. We come back. John North was leading it. And he says, all right, tell me some of your stories of how you came up with your three. And one lady stood up. She said, you know, I hadn't seen this one gal for... I think it was 3 or 4 years, might have just been two, but I'll say 3 years. And for some reason, I felt prompted to write her name down. And she said, I did. The next day, that gal called her and said, I haven't seen you in forever. We should get together for coffee. And you could just feel it in the rooms, like, whoa. A second woman got up and said, that exact same thing happened to me. And John was intuitive enough to say, guys, you don't think God was just waiting for you to express your availability, that he already had somebody in mind that was looking for a relationship? It's like, so don't freak out about this little exercise. Go, Lord, who do you got for me? Friend, acquaintance, coworker, family member, somebody you haven't seen for a long time, but begin to think about who that person might be, but especially for people that you already have some connection with who are starting to maybe ask some questions or who are going through a difficult time, that might be just a one level more of a platform to kind of build that relationship with them. So, Bob, why don't you come up? We're going to give you Lifestyle Priority 2's action steps back on page 12, and then I'll come back with some last instructions and we'll be done.
Sorry, I do that sometimes when I'm scared. I thought Bruce was attacking me. Thank you. This is what pastors do. We keep going. What a godly man. Let's pray for a minute for Trudy and their family. Father, thanks for Bruce giving him strength to teach. We see the love in his soul for his father-in-law. Pray for Trudy. Her husband's not there to help her right now. So just give Bruce wisdom on if he needs to get home quick or what he needs to do. But just thanks that we can be his friend right now. And just be with that family. Put your arms around them, Lord. A lot of decisions to make, a lot of arrangements to make. This was not unexpected, but it's a surprise. But we thank you for what we've been talking about, the gospel, and that he is no longer in pain. The strokes took away part of his body movements, and now he's healed. And we pray that as he is in the presence of Jesus, that would motivate us to think about our faith, our friends, the people we put on our list, how important it is for us to commit to being friends, making friends, and sharing the gospel. So we pray for our brother in Christ's name. Amen. If you turn to pages 12 to 13, Lifestyle Priority number 2. So where are you? Rate yourself. Where do you think you are right now? And this isn't a beat up thing. Be honest with yourself. You know, I'm really good. I'm an 8. Man, everybody I see, I try to, I'm at 0 or I'm at 1. I need help with this. And hopefully you're at the lower end, because that's going to be what this course is all about, is giving you tools in your toolbox and how to raise that number. So let's look at the action steps. And guess what? We just saw them. We just went over them. So your action steps are to think about how could you plan a meal with someone? How could you... The person whose name you're going to write down, how could you go out of your way, make room in your schedule to invite them out for a meal? And we're not talking about a gospel meal. We're not talking about you take your Bible and put them on the spot. We're talking about, hey, how are you doing? And, you know, I might even be bold enough to say that in my conversation. You know, I really appreciate you, but, you know, I've noticed you, and, you know, I realize we're kind of acquaintances, but, you know, I'd like to become deeper with you. You know, I'd like to be a friend and just wanted to meet with you and get to know you better. And, you know, maybe that's how you start it. Make contact between getting together. I think that's for, we're in instant contact now with each other, with our phones and stuff. And like Bruce said, hey, thanks for having breakfast with me. Love to do it again. And just share with them, hey, if you ever need anything, you know, give me a text. And then, at that meal, when you're with them, share something personal about you. Maybe something personal about your faith, about your faith journey. May not. Maybe about your struggles on the golf course. Who knows? Find out what their hobby is. And then at the meal, you may find out they have a hobby, and then, hey, I like that too. So then maybe the next step is, next time we eat, let's go do that together. Let's go skeet shooting, or let's do something. So that's, those are your two lifestyle priorities from the first weekend. And what we don't, you know, what we don't want to have happen is what happens with a lot of seminars. You know, we come, we get our notebook, we fill it out, we go home, and it goes on the shelf. Now, we're coming back in December, and so think about this. Make this part of, you know, your daily. Think about this between now and then as we get together. But what I want you to do right now for just maybe 3 to 5 minutes at your table, just want you to pray as a group out loud. I want you to pray for the people's names. If you wrote people's names down, don't have to share the people's names with the others and tell them who they are and why you're doing it. But just pray out loud for those people that you have on your list and ask God to use you in the next few weeks to somehow figure out how to build a relationship with those people. So just do that at your table, and when I feel that it's kind of toned down, I'll close this in prayer. So just take a minute to pray together at your table. see how you're going to use us in their lives in the next 6 weeks or so. So thanks for putting us, giving us the impetus to look at our acquaintances, and we want to be friends. We want to love our neighbors as Christ loved the church. So show us how to do that. But just thanks for this time of prayer. We pray in your name. Amen. Bruce is going to come up and close us and give our final instructions to you.
Well, thank you. That seminar one, this is what it's like now you know. We feel like if we can get people to seminar one, it kind of dispels a lot of the fears. It's like, oh, that's what it's like. That was hopefully more fun than you thought it would be. Just a quick recap, and then I'll give you a whole variety of instructions as we go. You've already got this. Repetition is the key to making it stick. Priority one, a sense of centeredness in every circumstance and encounter. You're going to drive away. You might go home. You might go to lunch. You might have some work this afternoon. You are sent. Like, it begins right away. With that, your action steps. Pray through your neighborhood, workplace, farm, wherever you live, wherever you work, your family. Start praying for them by name. I like to do a daily prayer walk. I take our son's dog and our dog along. They do their business. I do my prayer. I have this little route that I run. There's about 10 houses that kind of get to the end of town. I've gotten to know all those people by name. Well, not maybe one or two that I haven't. Dogs are a great attraction. You can talk about anything if somebody likes your dogs, and they're golden retrievers, so they're pretty. I've learned the one guy has Parkinson's. You'd be amazed just walking neighborhoods and just with your eyes open and just being ready for, hey, how are you? And it's like, kids are a great attraction. Sounds horrible to say, but they are. So, oh, your kids are adorable. Yeah, well, sometimes they are, but it's like, oh. connect with your accountability partner. So as you go out today, if you haven't signed up with an accountability partner, maybe yours isn't here this weekend, call them and write that down. This is really important. I can't overemphasize that enough. How you get together, when you get together, once a week is totally up to you, but it'll keep you on track. It'll keep it fresh. Live as a witness, journal, and prayer. So Josh talked about that when we started this morning. Make that part of your rhythm. Honestly, just a few minutes. We really encourage you to do it in the morning because it sets your mind in that direction. Even if you have two or three other devotionals that you do, you can figure out when to use them. Priority number two, build real friendships with non-church people. For me, this was the scary part. It's like, what are you adding? I hope I've made that clear. Just look at the people you're already somewhat connected to. Or eat a meal together, or coffee, that qualifies. Great opportunity just to chat. And when we said that, we meant outside of the normal setting. Like, if you do it anyway, it's not like it doesn't count, but we mean like work lunches and things to where you would eat. This is like, no, I'm actually inviting him or her out to get together. Make contact between get-togethers. It's just so simple with texting and things like that with now. And share something personal. This, again, like I said, I can hide behind my questions. It's a reminder for me to just put myself out. A couple of other reminders as you go. If you haven't written a one or two sentence prayer on that big post-it note, please do that before you go. And Bob alluded to it, but we put this away and we bring it back for the final seminar. And what we, I'm giving you a little taste of it. You might forget anyway. We take pictures of those, and your names aren't on them. We put it in a PowerPoint slide, and you're going to see your prayer and go, that's what I prayed? Oh, wow, God answered that. So it's a blessing to write a prayer. It's not for anything other than that. It's going to encourage you as you go. I'm on Facebook personally, but we also have an Evangelism Shift Facebook page if you want to look for that. Which means Instagram as well, so we're on social media. Any way that you want to connect is great. The next slide will have the dates. I think you guys, your church has been good about dates, but if it's not already on your calendar, same format, Friday evening, Saturday morning. We'll be back the middle of December. Again, we try to put space between it because we want to give you time to do some of these things. Did I miss anything? The last thing is, I know you're going to all line up. If we could do a short video interview, here's the question. Here's what impacted me from seminar one, and you give us 30 seconds of what that was. So if even three or four of you would do that, it really is helpful. We put a little video together. You can use it as a church, but it also helps us with other churches. Oh, the most important thing. Turn to page 31. You already put your books away, didn't you? You see it says feedback form. Tear that page out. And it looks like a lot. If you would give us any feedback to any of those questions, we would appreciate it. You don't have to fill them all out. If you want to, please do. But even if you look through there and you give us some feedback on any of those, that would be great. Just take 60 seconds or 2 minutes to do that. Just leave it on the table. I'll come around and pick them up when we're cleaning up. But I think that's it. Do you have anything for the church in terms of tomorrow? Is there any closing comment? Because I'm done. You want to close with prayer then too? Yep.
Hey, Bruce, thank you. Say thank you. Yeah. And Bob, you too. And I'm really grateful for you. But <it'll> be I like how you just shrugged. Bruce will be praying. And love you. Hey, as you head out, our mission, we are what? To? Who? And then what? With us, yeah. We're sent. We're sent to love them, no matter who they are, what they've done, where they're from. Sent to invite them. You see how this all parallels? I mean, we're inviting them into relationship now, from acquaintance to friendship. We're sent to love people and invite them. So first into relationship. Ultimately, hopefully by God's grace, to follow Jesus with us. And even if they don't, we're still sent to love them. So live that out. And you're loved, you're sent to love. One last thing just to draw your attention to while you're filling out those evals. As you start thinking of your list, again, a plug for the app that Josh built. When you get into the Gospel Conversations app, you know, that tab on the top is add a conversation. When you hit that, there's numbers there of types of conversations. That chart that Bruce went through, going from news, weather, sports, all the way over to God's story on the right, 1 through 5. That was from a conversation, a Zoom call Josh and I had with Bruce last spring sometime. And this is developed right around that same process. So it's there to help you in that. So you can put that in. And also if you go back to the homepage then and hit the orange button, that pearl list, you can list people that you're praying for. And you can just start recording conversations, tagging them. Nobody sees it except for you, right? Unless you hit the little share with the office button. And it's totally private to you, but it's a great way for you to keep up on. As you were talking about some of that stuff, Bruce, I was thinking, you know, or maybe it was Bob, know their spouse's name, their first and last name, know their hobbies, and I'm sitting there thinking, and remember them, right? Like, that's an important part, too. And so that's that's just a great tool for you. I use that sometimes with a couple on my list that I go back to that list and go, what did we talk about the last time? Oh, yeah, I remember this. And so use that tool. It's there for you, and keep building that up. If you have questions and need help getting in there, let us know. But let's pray, and then we'll call it a day. Father, thanks for Jesus, and for your grace. Thanks, Jesus, that you obeyed and were sent to us. Help us to do that as well, Lord. Help us to be patient, to be loving and kind like you are. Help us to think long-term, to give us insight just into people and savvy to read the room and know when to push and when just to befriend and love and back away, knowing that you're the one ultimately who's at work in their life. And you've sent us there for whatever reason, whether it's a short touch or a deep conversation. So help us to be in tune with your Spirit on that. Lord, pray for all the people we mentioned and prayed for already. You'd be working in their lives. And whether they would come to know you soon or years from now, we pray they would. And Father, again, we pray for Bruce. Pray for your grace upon his heart and his mind, and for Trudy and their family, their kids, Lord, just everything. And thanks for your faithfulness and that you know, you see, and you care. And Father, we entrust all this to you, and we look forward to the journey ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you're loved. You're sent to love. See you tomorrow. I thought about it. Yeah. I thought about it. Maybe some...